Blog Talk Radio.
One, two, three, four. Can I have just a little more? Five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. I love you. A, B, C, D. Can I bring my friends to D? E, L, G, H, I, J. I love you.
Welcome to this latest edition, this special primetime edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. I'm your host, of course, Cyril Quinn, taking you for the next 2 hours as I discuss, preview, dissect, and do everything else to the NFL season 2012. Of course, we are less than 24 hours away, or maybe exactly 24 hours away from the NFL season kicking off officially, finally. No more preseason, no more Tom Brady throwing two passes and then holding the clipboard. Season's almost upon us, but I'm not alone. Robert Sapp joining us. Chad Quinn will join us. So I got a cast here, maybe a couple guests here and there. We, you know, this is what we want to do. This is how we want to kick off the 93rd season of NFL football. Robert Sapp, how you doing tonight?
Yeah, doing pretty good. Anxious for some football to get started.
No question about it. I mean, you know, out of all the four sports, football season, of course, has the longest off season. You know, Super Bowl ends first weekend in February, and we're talking about the football season kicking off in the first weekend or second weekend in September. So that is a long gap, and certainly anxious for some football. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald, or hit me up at facebook.com/TheRealQuinn. Or find me on my website at SurrealGeraldQuinn.com. So there's really no excuse not to find me. I just named about 20 million places that you can find me on. The poll question of the night, just keep it simple. Who will win the Super Bowl? I will give you my prediction at the end of the night, at the end of the show. I can tell you right now it won't be Green Bay or New England. So that's where, you know, I'm not doing the obvious thing. You can, you know, Green Bay is almost like LeBron. Like, you can pick them to win the Super Bowl like every year from here on out, the way they're set up. But I'm not going to pick them. So we're gonna jump right into it. Preview, go division by division. I'm gonna get Mr. Sapp's opinion. Starting off with his division, the AFC East. So the division that his team resides in. I shouldn't say it's his division because he doesn't root for the Patriots. So, Mr. Sapp, what do you think about this division? Who do you like to win it? Do you like any wild cards other than a division winner coming out of here?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how it happens, but every year it seems like the AFC East, particularly the New England Patriots, get the easiest schedule. And once again, it's happened because I believe the AFC East has the AFC South. And I want to say the NFC West. Yeah, I think those two divisions right there. And it's set up particularly well for the Patriots to get. I can't see them getting under 13 wins again this year. You know, it's Brady and company back at it again. I really feel like, you know, it's just always set up for them. Miami's going to be horrible. The Jets are going to be horrible. I know we're going to be diving a little bit deeper into that a little bit later, but that offense looked just awful. And
what, one touchdown?
Exactly.
And it wasn't even it wasn't even by any of their starting quarterbacks. It was the dude McElroy from Alabama who won a championship with Alabama about 2 years ago. 3 years ago. Greg McElroy. So that's
yeah.
the hilarious part about it.
Yeah. Was it thrown by Tebow or Sanchez?
Or Sanchez. might be a sign of things to come. McElroy.
That'll tell you how the season goes. McElroy's the one throwing touchdown passes. No, I think the Tebow-Sanchez thing is going to become a disaster, and it's going to become, you know, a show and a farce. Now, that'll eventually sink the Jets. And, you know, I'm going to be cautiously optimistic on the Bills season this year, but I can't quite put them into the playoffs. I can't go there, just because I also don't want to jinx them if they by chance happen to do. But I'm definitely cautiously optimistic. So the way I have it rounding out is New England at 13-3. I got Buffalo at 8-8. Miami 6-10, 7-9. I could see that, and the Jets at 5-11.
Wow, so you're really down on the Jets.
I'm really down on the Jets.
New England, of course, is by far and away not even close to the best team in this division. Matter of fact, the gap between them and the rest of the division is bigger than any gap between a division leader, the best team in any other division, and the second best team. It's not even close. So they'll win the division going away. I see no wild cards. New England will be the only team in this division that makes the playoffs to me. I think Buffalo will finish. I had Buffalo finish second, Jets third, and Miami, of course, rounding up the basement in last place. So that's how I had the standings. I don't like, again, I just don't like this division at all. It'll be entertaining. It'll be entertaining to watch as far as what goes on with the Jets. Can New England go undefeated, which they're not, but, you know, there have been already a couple of publications picking them to go 16-0, whatever. They're not going to go undefeated. But it'll be very interesting to watch. Think about New England. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. They still have not shown us that they can win a Super Bowl with their current style of play. Similar to, and I'll go with another sport real quick, San Antonio Spurs in basketball. San Antonio won championships as a defensive team. When they've gone to this offensive mindset in the last 2 or 3 years, it's produced great regular seasons, but it has not held in the playoffs. And I just wonder about that, about New England, about being this offensive juggernaut. They'll score 500 points again. Brady will light up the fantasy, you know, light up the fantasy world and do what he does, but is there enough improvement in that back end or that secondary, you know, in order for them to win a Super Bowl? And I don't think there is, to be honest with you.
Well, I told you it's a fact because it's in the record, but in both Super Bowl losses to the Giants, they scored 14 points. So that mighty offense can be toned down, and once that offense is toned down, that's pretty much all they got.
Yeah. I mean, it's like this, folks, for my baseball fans out here. You get an offense that scores a million runs in a regular season. They get to the postseason, they face some great pitching, and they look average.
Yeah.
That's what has happened to New England during these last two Super Bowl runs. Against defensive teams that have been able to rush the passer. And if you can rush the passer on New England without blitzing, knock Tom Brady around a couple of times, you can make even Brady, the great Brady, look average when he gets hit. So we're certainly something to keep your eye on over the course of the 2012 season. We're going to shift now to a very interesting division, I think. The AFC North, because you have two teams, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, that have been perennial Super Bowl caliber contenders. I think both those teams are taking a step back. Give me your thoughts on who will win this division and any chance they'll get multiple playoff teams.
Yeah, first of all, I think this division is going to be 9-7 is going to win. I just think they're going to ugly it up. First of all, I think Roethlisberger is injury just waiting to happen. So the chances of him starting all six games, I give next to none on that. I would love Baltimore this year, but they, you know, the Terrell Suggs injury is going to impact them. I feel like somebody else got injured. I'm just forgetting right off the top of my head. But they've kind of had the injury bug a little bit early. Sleeper in this whole thing might be Cincinnati, depending upon what Andy Dalton does, if he's ready to take that next level step. A.J. Green ready to take that next step up. They signed Bajari Green, the law firm, I'll just say it like that. Yes, thank you. Who doesn't ever put the ball on the ground. So just kind of like a steady running game and not a head case that is back there. They Cincinnati might be ready to make some noise in this division. But I'm with you. I'm not really sold on Baltimore or Pittsburgh this year. And I think this division is just going to be ugly it up. And yeah, Cleveland is just going to be what Cleveland is, what they usually
the Browns.
Do.
They're the Browns.
I would actually have Cincinnati coming out of this division. And I'm not going to put a wild card here either. I'm not going to put a wild card out of this division.
I like Cincinnati in this division. I think that, to me, I think that almost not by default, but I like the steps that they're taking. Again, great young quarterback, great young receiver, good young quarterback, great young receiver. A.J. Green has a chance to be one of the best receivers in football. The defense was underrated last year, even a no-name.
Yep.
Not having big names, but now you get Leon Hall back. And that back end that with that secondary, Carlos Dunlap, King Dunlap is a very good player. The dude from USC, Malaluga, is a very good player with their defense. I think Cincinnati gets – this is one of these years to me. It's more about Baltimore and Pittsburgh taking a step down than it is even about Cincinnati emerging. I like Cincinnati. I don't love Cincinnati. But to me, I look at Baltimore and Pittsburgh, and I compare them to the 49ers and Green Bay Packers, I would say late 90s, early 2000s. The reason I make this comparison is 49ers and Green Bay had tremendous runs with Favre and Young. And I mean, 49ers, we can trace back, you know, from the 80s to the mid-early 90s. Green Bay had the great run with Favre. But it got to a point, I would say around 98, 99, where both teams took a step back. And they were not championship caliber. They were good enough to make the playoffs, but not able to win a Super Bowl, not even champion Super Bowl caliber. That's what I think Pittsburgh and Baltimore are right now. I think they're a team. Now, they're not, you know, next year Baltimore, Pittsburgh could win a Super Bowl. Who knows? You know, that they're not. They both have young quarterbacks, especially Pittsburgh has, I think a future Hall of Fame quarterback. Baltimore drafts well. They rebuild their defense and what have you. But for this year, and every team slips. I don't care who you are, other than the Patriots. Your name, not the Patriots. Other than the Patriots, every team takes a slide. And even the Patriots take small slides back. Their slides just are not as big as everybody else's. Every team, you know, takes a step back. And I think this is a year that Baltimore and Pittsburgh will not be championship caliber and will be scrambling, struggling to make the playoffs. I actually have Baltimore going 8-8, and I had Pittsburgh picking up a wild card. Pittsburgh picking up a wild card. I still like Roethlisberger. I still like the receivers. Defensively, they're not great, but they'll still be a top five defense as far as yards and those stats. But they're not a dominant defense. But they won't have to be. I think the offense will score a lot of points. So I got Pittsburgh. I would say Cincinnati. I think winning 10 and 6. And I think Pittsburgh can get that second wild card even just at nine to seven. So that'll be what I think of with the AFC North. As far as, again, Cleveland, again, it's Cleveland. I have no – they'll, you know, hopefully Trent Richardson stays healthy. Brandon Weeden, you know, the quarterback situation is, a joke, and they'll just, you know, they'll do what they do.
Marvin Lewis, you stay around long enough, it's bound to come back around to winning.
I mean, Marvin Lewis is a guy. I mean, geez, you talk about Marvin Lewis is? He's Wayne Fox. That's Marvin Lewis. He's Wayne Fox. He was going to be fired like 10 times. He's just out of the way. He's like, Wayne's still out there? Wayne's still over there.
Look up, Marvin Lewis still got his job.
Still got his job. I think one playoff win, if that. Do they have any playoff? I don't think he's won a playoff game. No, I don't think they've won a playoff game. They lost to the Jets the first round. Then they lost to Pittsburgh that first round when Carson Palmer got hurt.
Carson Palmer went down.
He hasn't won a playoff game. No, he hasn't. He has not won a playoff game. So, but good for him. Good for him. We're going to shift to the AFC South, the South Division, of course, formerly headlined by Indianapolis. Of course, that's not the case anymore, even though they got Andrew Luck.
Mm-hmm.
Houston Texans looked like to be a strong team in this division. What are your thoughts on this AFC South division?
So I'm going to go bottom up. I think Jacksonville has a really good chance of being the worst team in the NFL. I can't see them winning more than three games, if that. I can't say how much I detest Blaine Gabbert. I think he's horrible quarterback. Just horrible, horrible, horrible. And Blackmon, their newly found centerpiece is a head case. And that never, ever serves well. And then you had all this drama with Maurice Jones-Drew, unnecessary, where the owner's sniping at him and they're going back and forth and refusing to trade him. And Chris Johnson kind of showed us the blueprint of what holdouts do for you. Basically, he just wanted to miss the entire mini. He just said, fine, if I'm not going to get paid, I'm just going to miss the entire mini camp. Just might as well do that. Chris Johnson, I think Chris Jones-Drew just was like, if I'm not going to get paid, at least let me let me miss the entire mini camp. And we know how that's going to turn out. They already got him in the first regular season game. He's going to be a third down back. So it's just way too much turmoil on a team that's not talented at all. I think Jacksonville is right there, contender of being the worst team in the league. Next up, I think Indianapolis. They're going to struggle early on. I mean, I like Luck. I think Luck is going to be a blue chipper by all accounts. He definitely does have some pieces around him, but those pieces kind of fit the offense that Peyton Manning was running. And so it's going to be a while. I actually expect them to heat up kind of late, like go on a run where they win four out of their last six or something like that. But I expect them to be around that 5-11, 4-12 range. So with that being said, those being so horrible, if you've noticed, I haven't given a wild card to the AFC East or a wild card to the AFC North. I think Tennessee is going to be kind of one of those sleeper teams to really come up and bite you bite everybody behind. We're going to talk fantasy later, but I love Jake Locker to Nate Washington. I just think that is going to be a superstar combination. I look for Chris Johnson to have a huge bounce back year. That defense always plays tough. They really do. They always play tough. They always play scrappy. And with that division being so bad, automatic four wins, I think they'll do enough to come out with a 10-6 record. And I'm with that being said, Houston, I'm in love with Houston. I think Houston has all the tools to be not only a division champion, which I absolutely think they'll win the division, but I think they have the chops to be a Super Bowl contender. Shaq, Foster, Andre Johnson having a big year. I think the biggest thing that happened to them was retaining Wade Phillips, that Wade Phillips did not get a head coaching job. The man can't head coach a team to save his life, but he is a genius on defense. And I think that was keeping him was the that big piece to them making some noise in the playoffs. So Houston, Tennessee, wild card, Houston division, Tennessee wild card, and Jacksonville, Indianapolis fighting over scraps.
I like Houston in this division. I love Houston. I thought Houston had a legit chance to go to the Super Bowl last year, if not for all the injuries. They end up down to their third-string quarterback and still almost beat Baltimore at Baltimore. Again, they have all the pieces with that defense. Like you mentioned, Jonathan Joseph, one of the best cornerbacks in the league, quietly. Aaron Foster, Ben Tate, that combo. Tate will keep Foster healthy, taking pressure off him. The defense is just ridiculous. I don't think they'll miss Mario Williams at all. So they have all the components, you know, to, like you said, to be a Super Bowl contender, and they are a legit Super Bowl contender. So I had them winning that division. Tennessee is very interesting. I definitely could see Tennessee contending for a wild card, and they're clearly to me the second best team in this division. Again, Jake Locker, in the time that he played last season, he was great. Like you mentioned, the Nate Washington combination worked out fine, and they also have some other weapons. Like they drafted Kendall Wright, who's supposed to be out of Baylor. They have Jared Cook, who's an underrated tight end. You know, you still, of course, Chris Johnson, you talked about him. And, you know, not to forget, Kenny Britt just suspended for one game. He'll be back, so he'll definitely have something to prove. Coming back, so that's a weapon that teams will have to account for. So they have some weapons. It depends on Locker and how quickly he develops with that offense. Again, having a world-class running back and pretty good weapons on the outside should make his job that much easier. They have a great pass-protecting offensive line, so that'll certainly help them out. Baronis is a great kicker. Their defense, like you said, their defense always plays well, no matter the fact that even though they don't have big names. So I could definitely see Tennessee making a wild card run. They'll definitely be one of the teams that I put into the mix as far as making the playoffs. But Houston to me is the class of this division easily. But again, Tennessee will challenge them. I can see that being a race going down in December. I think Tennessee, people forget, Tennessee last year was 9-7, and they had a very underrated year. They were right in it. I think they absolutely made the right move with going to Locker, similar to what Cincinnati did with Carson Palmer and John Kitner. You know, Hasselbeck, you know, he's going as far as he's going to go. So why not? You know, they said it was even, so why not go with Locker? I had no problem with that move whatsoever. I think Luck is going to have a big year. I understand they don't have a lot of pieces, but I could see him, you know, I could see him putting up Peyton Manning-type numbers, Peyton Manning's rookie year. I could see him putting up those type numbers. He might have more interceptions than touchdowns, but you're going to see he's going to do things that you're going to say, like, yo, this dude's going to be the next big-time quarterback. Like, just watch him in the preseason. I mean, I've been a fan of Luck since, you know, 2-3 years ago, but because he had nothing at Stanford as far as wide receivers. People don't really realize, yeah, they had a great running game. They had his best receivers were tight ends, and he still put up ridiculous numbers when he was the focus of the offense. So I just think, and I was very impressed with him in that Pittsburgh game. He throws the pick, bounces back, and, you know, makes some plays. So I think Luck is the absolute next big-time quarterback. And depending on this, that organization is going to have to show past Bill Polian what they can do. Irsay is, you know, I don't like Irsay being having as much control as he has. We'll see if he delegates somewhat. But they definitely have the franchise quarterback. It's be, you know, Jacksonville will be Jacksonville. Like, they'll be who they are. They'll trade. They'll eventually get rid of Maurice Jones, Drew Pobley, more than likely. And, you know, maybe their fans show up enough for it to where, you know, they won't get blacked out half their games. So, Jacksonville needs to be they really don't need a football team.
Annexed from the league.
Yeah, they don't. It makes zero sense for Jackson. I mean, they had some great years under Coughlin and Brunell and Fred Taylor. They had some, they had some teams. I mean, in the mid-90s, they had some excellent teams. That time is like, you know, bedrock right now. That time is so done. It's like, it seems like a lifetime ago.
Some things make too much sense. They should have given the world for Tebow, because at the very least, they would have had half the year. They would have had all of their luxury seats sold, and they would have at least half of the year before they were pulled to be god awful. But the way that Tebow was pulling miracles, they could at least held on to hope that maybe he would pull a miracle. So you're looking at least a full season of your tickets sold. This, like you said, this way now, they are lucky if they're not blacked out every single game. Every single home game.
Don't realize it is a horrible sports town. I heard people say when they went and they had a Super Bowl down there, I believe that Super Bowl was the Philadelphia New England Super Bowl. I believe that was the one. That people who went there was the worst Super Bowl that they ever been to, in terms of just, like, it was just bad. There's nothing in Jacksonville. So it was just horrible. Yeah, it's hot. It's just hot. But there, you know, it's not conducive just for NFL football. Like, you know, they're not the Dolphins. They just don't need to have a team. They just don't. AFC West, very interesting division as well, to say the least. This division reminds me of like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. You don't know. It's so many personalities, so many storylines. What do you think about this division? Because I just picked a winner like this morning, basically. Because I just didn't know.
If I could sell an entire division, I would sell the entire AFC West. I sell. There's nothing to like about this division. You know, I'm down on San Diego and Phillip Rivers this year. I don't see it. Denver, I can't trust Peyton Manning. Oakland, Carson Palmer looked horrible during the preseason.
He looked well on retirement.
And Kansas City, Romeo Cornell is their coach. Enough said. So, oh man, you're right. Who's to like in this division? Normally, I would say go with the best quarterback. But that would mean San Diego, because you can't trust Peyton. But you can't trust San Diego. You cannot trust San Diego. There's no way. If Peyton Manning stays healthy and they have a brutal season, I mean, they have a brutal schedule. I'm going to say 8-8 wins this division again. And if Peyton Manning stays healthy, Denver, if McFadden stays healthy, Oakland, if San Diego fires Norv Turner after the second game, San Diego, and the only team I know is not winning the AFC West, but might win the AFC West is Kansas City. So I like Denver by absolute default, but that is as shaky a pick as I've ever made in my life.
I'm going to go. This is a division where I compare. This is like the blow up bracket in the NCAA tournament. I might sound crazy. I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
Sure.
Because,
do it.
I might be alone. I might be alone. But I'm going with the Chiefs because I think the combination. I like Jamal Charles. I like the Peyton Hillis pickup. So like that. So I like that combination. Like Charles, even coming off an injury, I think Peyton Hillis will be able to take some of the load off him. Dwayne Bowe is still a very good player. Baldwin, I think is going to have a breakout season for his second year. Castle, serviceable quarterback. I like their defense. Cornell, he can coach defense. The offense is like, you know, you might as well just be a four-letter word to him. But defense, he can coach defense. So I'm going to go with the Chiefs. To win this division obviously is one of those picks where it's like you know, the shot in the dark, you know, the blindfold and the cigarette pick. But I like the Chiefs to win in this division. Who finishes in second, third, and fourth? I don't know. This division is just crazy. On paper, Oakland probably 1-53 has the most talent on paper. But again, Carson Palmer. There were people. I heard people in preseason said that Carson Palmer should be retired.
Go back to that couch.
They were like, why is he still playing? Other than money, putting the money aside, which is obviously a big thing. But they said Carson Palmer looked that bad to where people predicted that he would be one of the first quarterbacks benched. That's how bad he looked. So they have Mark Pryor now. They have Terrell Pryor coming to the bench now. You know, you have to depend on Terrell Pryor. Good luck.
He's just going bad.
Well, I guess if I had to pick up the team to finish second, I guess it would be Denver. So it'll be an old-fashioned Denver and Kansas City battle for the division. Raiders of San Diego, you know, would fight for who's last. But it'll be one of those divisions where first place would be like 8-8 and last place would be like 7-9 or 6-10.
Yeah.
It would not be a big gap. Like, everybody will be in it. I will say this, everybody will be in it up until December.
Yep.
Clearly, everybody will be. You might have a situation where the last week, where three different people can win the division. That's how wide. Listen, it's going to be entertaining. It will be entertaining. You won't lack for drama as far as entertainment. Peyton Manning, does he play 16 games?
I put the over under 12. I'll give him 12.
Okay, 12, okay. Very interesting to watch. Is he...
Now, where those four that he missed will determine if they make the playoffs or not.
Oh, no question. No question. You want him to miss them early.
Yep.
You want him to miss those games early. So, yeah, this division is just – it's a brutal division, but again – you do have some good players. I mean, obviously, you have Peyton Manning returning. See what Jamal Charles does in his comeback. San Diego, they are who they are. North Turner is still coaching, last time I checked. So, you know, you obviously won't trust them. Plus, I think from a talent standpoint, San Diego is down this year. I think this might be the least talented team that they've had in about 4 or 5 years. We used to be able to say that San Diego – from 1-53 was as talented as anybody in the league. That's not the case anymore.
They lost Vincent Jackson, lost Tolbert.
Cage's not the player he was. The offensive line is not as good. You know, they are not Cromartie, of course. I mean, lost him a couple of years ago, but they, you know, when they had him a couple of years back, they had a lot of talent in that backfield, in that secondary. No, Weddle's a beast. Weddle's one of the best safeties in the league, so they still have him. I don't want to leave him out the mix, but and Matthews is Mr. Glass. I mean, what can you say? The guy is all the time.
Injury waiting to happen.
Like you know, this guy twists his ankle before the national anthem. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, second year back, he's going to get hurt. It's not a matter of if, it's when. It's all there is to it. And there's no hiding him. I don't care how you have three running backs. There's absolutely no hiding Ryan Matthews. We're going to shift over to the NFC now. We'll go with the NFC South, one of the more competitive divisions, a very strong division. Keep in mind that since the South aligned, had the NFL realigned back in 2002, no South team has repeated as divisional champs. Who do you like?
And it won't happen this year. Now, here's my caveat. I first of all, Tampa Bay. Well, I was going to say Tampa Bay is going to be awful, but I think they were so bad last year because the coach was so horrible. So they might actually be just from addition, what's the saying, addition by subtraction, by getting rid of the coach, that might be an extra two games for them. So Tampa Bay, bottom division, but I think they'll be competitive. I do think the New Orleans Saints, the loss of their head coach and all the drama over the entire offseason will have an impact, will have an effect on them. So I do not see them as repeating as champions. I really like Carolina. I really like Carolina. And I'm sitting here looking at the divisions. I almost want to say Carolina as a wild card. So I'm going to reserve the right on that. But I say all that to say I love Atlanta coming out of this division this year. I think if I felt certain about anything, I feel certain that Atlanta is going to come out this division 10-6 or 11-5, and then we'll see what Carolina can do to see if they can become a wild card team, depending upon what happens in the NFC East. But I think Atlanta, Julio Jones is going to be an absolute man-child. I think Ryan's right there to take that next step. Elite, probably not elite, but definitely take that next step to scoring more than 2 points in a playoff game or whatever it is that they scored in that game. I just think that combination of Julio Jones and Roddy White are going to be a lot. And then you're going to throw Turner in there, who run decent, but you also have Jacquizz Rogers, right?
Jacquizz Rogers,
who will do a really good job of spelling him. Takes a licking, keeps on ticking. Tony Gonzalez, you know, they definitely have weapons, and they'll be able to present enough of a defense in a division that will give them right around 10 to 11 games. So love Atlanta. I think Carolina's right there. Carolina feels like Detroit last year. They feel right there on that cusp. Let me think about the other divisions before I say they're a wild card. And then Tampa and New Orleans, or New Orleans and then Tampa Bay.
This is a big year for Atlanta. I like Atlanta in this division at around 11-5, 10-6, probably 11-5, close to 11-5. It's a huge year for them. Their last two playoff losses have been just flat out embarrassing.
Awful.
I mean,
yeah.
They lose to the Giants 24-2, even though the Giants won. Even though they've been to the Super Bowl champions, that's how bad the losses have been. Year before, they get just lambasted by Green Bay at home in the Georgia Dome with home field advantage throughout the whole playoffs. So this is a huge year for them, for Matt Ryan, for that franchise, I feel. Mike Smith included. I think that, again, offensively, I think they can go toe-to-toe with just about anybody offensively, what they're going to put out on the field. I mean, those receivers are uncoverable. When you combine, like, you're not going to be able to double any of those receivers. They have two legit number ones on their team. So they're going to score a ton of points. I think Matt Ryan's going to have a big year. You can see 4,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, 30, 35 touchdowns, easy. Turner is still a very good back. You know, Jacquizz Rogers, again, will take, like you mentioned, will take pressure off him. Offensively, I don't worry about them. Asante Samuels will help them out defensively. He's not going to solve all their problems, but he will help them out in terms of their passing terms of their pass defense. Pass rush is still, to me, their issue as a team, as a whole. They have, other than John Abraham is about 50 years old at this point. Ray Edwards, I mean, you count on him. They're still, their defensive line, their front seven still doesn't scare me at all. Which, you know, I don't care how good your secondary is, you can't get the passer, then we know what happens in today's NFL. Good, again, the good thing they have going for them in this division is there's not a big-time defense in this division.
No.
They're going to score. They're going to score on everybody. They're going to score on everybody, which is the reason why, for second place, and why my wild card is only the Saints. I think the Saints, offensively, are going to just, even with no Sean Payton, I just think, offensively, they have so many weapons that they're going to score, that they can basically score on anybody. Now, defensively, like I said, I mentioned you a couple weeks ago, some of their score, if you want sheer entertainment, watch the Northern Saints this
Saints
year.
Games. Saints
I
games.
I guarantee you will have at least 45 to 41, 50. So I'm guaranteeing you, watch the Saints. If you're in the fantasy, you want your team playing the Saints, especially if you have receivers and a quarterback. Because they're gonna, your quarterback is gonna go nuts. Your receivers are gonna go crazy on the Saints. That defense is as bad as, I mean, that you talk about records. That defense could threaten some records as far as giving up yardage, possibly. There's no question about it. So, offensively, Drew Brees is gonna have to be just, you know, he's gonna throw 5-6 thousand yards. I mean, yeah. Drew Brees. Like, Drew, you put it all in your hands. We're going to put it all in your hands. Like, they're really going – I think the Saints are going to have to kind of rethink their offensive philosophy, as crazy as this sounds, to protect their defense. Like, they might be better off not
slow it down
quick. Slow it down. They have a great running game. I mean, they have a bevy of running backs that can run. It's not like they can't run the ball. So to me,
particularly with Sean Payton being out the picture, Sean Payton would have been the perfect one to recognize that and slow it down. Drew Brees is going to be calling that offense, and a quarterback just wants to throw the ball. He's just going to want to throw the ball. It just is. It's just going to be there, and so we can see that passing disparity be something like 70-30.
Right. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, but I do agree with you that a second wild card is coming out of this division. It'll be either the Saints or Carolina. Carolina is that team, and I call them the wild card team because I use that term to meaning that they can go in either direction. They're that swing team. Carolina has a lot of talent. I just don't know who that second receiver is after Steve Smith. That, to me, is a major question mark. You know, Brandon LaFell, the guy Getz, I don't trust either one of those guys as a second number two receiver. Cam Newton will put up numbers, no question about it. Will he be as good as he was last year in terms of running? No. I mean, he had 14 touchdowns rushing. So, and truthfully, you don't want him rushing that much. That you don't want him running like he did last year and taking that kind of punishment. Their defense automatically, by default, is going to be better. They had a number of injuries. Beaston, those guys will be back. So I think defensively they'll be a middle of the pack team defensively. So I definitely see Carolina in the mix. They're an up and coming team. Definitely see them in the mix as a playoff team. There's no two ways about it. So either Carolina or New Orleans will get that playoff. Will get that that wild card. I would lean towards New Orleans because of the experience factor, been there before, but would not be least bit surprised by Carolina. As far as Tampa is concerned, just call out the brigade for Tampa. Tampa, I don't know what to make of them as of right now. I see some talent. I think Freeman will have a better year than he had last year, which won't be hard to beat. I think that I do like their running backs.
Love Doug Martin.
Doug Martin and LeGarrette Blount. Vince Jackson as a receiver. Think he'll produce. Tampa, their defense, though, is, again, we talk about bad defenses. Their defense is one of the five worst defenses in the league, easily. So,
I, I, like, and then, believe me, I cannot name a defensive player to save my life. But I do feel like that entire team just quit. Like, they just quit last year. So, I don't think they're as bad as what we saw represented at that last half of the year. So that's why I was ready. I was ready to say they're going to be horrible, but I'm like, they might actually. I feel like they will put up a challenge. And at the end of last year, they were just like, whatever, run. We're just going to arm tackle you and try not to get injured.
there's no two ways about it. They quit. I mean, you can tell in any sport, but especially in football, more than any other sport, when a team lays down, I mean, it's obvious. And Raheem Morris's voice his voice went hollow in that locker room. That's all there is to it. You know, they tuned him out and it's like, you know what, we will see you on another team next year. That's what they basically told him. Like, you're not going to be here because we're not playing for you. So, no, they quit. So, maybe their defense is a little bit better. I don't know how much better it is than what they were last year. But I definitely see them, you know, last place without question. Weak team. Otherwise, is a strong division, minus Tampa Bay. It's a very strong division. So I have Atlanta winning the division. New Orleans, second place. New Orleans and Carolina basically in the battle for second place. That'll be a tight battle for that second place spot. And for that, I think for a wild card, one of those wild cards in the NFC. Going to shift to the NFC North, the Black and Blue division. Again, a very, very strong division, minus one team, similar to the South. We can already basically eliminate one team. What are your thoughts on this division?
Definitely the one team that you're talking about is Minnesota. And I agree with that, although I caveat, for some reason, I kind of like Ponder. And it may be I like him because juxtaposed against Donovan McNabb last year, who couldn't get the ball past the line of scrimmage. Seeing Ponder, like, zip it out there just kind of, like, impressed me. So it might be that. But I just kind of like Ponder. But with that being said, I do not like Minnesota. They will struggle. AP, I think he is coming back. They need to put him on the PUP list and let him at least go 8 games without doing anything. I think he's coming back way too fast. I know he's a freak of nature. I know. But that man's knee was devastated. ACL, MCL, there's no reason he should be trying to start week one. There's no reason he should be trying to start week 6, let alone week 1. So I just see bad things happening for them all around in their offense. You know, Percy Harvin is a headache machine, just waiting for a migraine, and he'll be there sometimes. And after that, they just don't really have an offense to speak of. Although I did handcuff Toby Gerhart. I think he had a chance to be a sleeper with AP doing some crazy stuff trying to be out there. So we can throw Minnesota out, bottom of the division, and this is exactly where it gets interesting, because I do believe that Detroit is going to take a regression. I see them taking a step back. They got all the kind of the classic kind of, Stafford played way over his head. I like Stafford a lot, but he played way over his head. Calvin Johnson had a year to end all years, and he's on the cover of Madden. Madden curse. he had a year to end all years of a receiver. He was fantastic. He absolutely is uncoverable. But I can see both of those numbers dipping a little bit. We know they have no running game to speak of. Javid Best Kevin Smith is going to walk out in the field and his leg is going to disintegrate as soon as he steps out there. I can't even remember the rookie's name who got injured at the beginning of last year, but he's not going to be ready to go. There's going to be no running game to speak of. People are going to be able to key in on the pass on Matthew Stafford, and that defense is just, and this is the thing about that defense. They think they're so much better than they actually are, and that's the problem. Undisciplined, out of lanes, trying to sack the quarterback, trying to go for the highlight plays, trying to go for the highlight kick, the highlight hits. That's gonna put them in a hole, particularly with what they're going to be facing in Green Bay and Chicago. And that's just going to be an absolute dogfight. I cannot wait to watch those games. I cannot wait to watch how these guys progress through the division. I really like Cutler this year. I think he's going to be – he's him and Brandon Marshall. I think they're just going to light it up. I love the running back combination. I think it might be the best – outside of Ben Tate and Aaron Foster, I think it might be the best running back combination – with Forte and I'm blanking on his
Michael
name.
Michael Bush.
Yes, Michael Bush. I think Bush could be is a legitimate starter in this league.
That's why I'm on both my fantasy teams.
So I love that running back combination. What gives me pause always with the Bears is that offensive line. You can't trust it. I totally recognize that. The defense aging a little bit, but there's still so much talent on that defense. Kind of like the Ravens, you know, where, yep, they're getting a little bit up there in age, but, man, they got some just all-time greats on there. So even their getting up there step slow is still faster than most. I absolutely love the Bears. But I am going to give the edge to Green Bay. Do I think they're going to go 15-1? I don't think they're going to go 15-1. But 12-4, 11-5, Green Bay, and with Chicago being 10-6 or 11-5, I think that's going to be right where they fall. Green Bay is just they got the best quarterback in the game. When you have the best quarterback in the game, you're always going to be right in there. The defense, absolutely shaky. I totally give you that, but they're just going to score so many points, and Aaron Rodgers is so good that it's going to be tough to overcome, and it's going to go right down to the wire. So I have Green Bay right around 12-4, 11-5, Chicago one win under that, whichever the 11-5, 10-6, right there. I think Detroit is going to miss out on the playoffs, and as you said, Minnesota's at the bottom of that division.
Yeah, great. This is a great division with that top three at the top, and you know Minnesota still has Jared Allen, Ponder. You know maybe Ponder is dangerous this year, so they're a bad team, but they're not Jacksonville or Tampa Bay bad. So that definitely, this division is very strong. Green Bay will win this division to me. I think they're 12-4, 13-3. Their defense can't be any worse than what it was last year. It can't be. I mean, their defense was like a sieve last year. Charles Woodson moving over to safety playing more safety will help. I think he's perfect in that role. I think their cornerbacks will bounce back. Tremont Williams and Sam Shields, they were awful last year. I think Clay Matthews will bounce back.
Matthews.
Mm-hmm. He's went from all pro to just not being just a non-factor last year. I think he'll have a much better year. So I think their defense will be much better. I don't think it'll be the level it was when they won the Super Bowl, but frankly they don't have to be that good. Because their offense is going to score, 35 to 40 points. And, Green Bay is easy. It's easy to pick them. The offense is that good. The only thing that derails them is an injury to Aaron Rodgers. And so I like Green Bay at 12-4. Chicago, before – before Trevor got hurt, I thought Chicago was the only team that could beat Green Bay. And this, of course, was before. This is before, you know, Cutler and Forte got hurt. So I definitely love, I love Chicago to be that second. I love Chicago to be that second wild card team in this division because they, again, that running game can carry. They're built for the playoffs. That running game can carry them when it gets cold. When it gets cold, in November and December. And that running game is carried on. And the defense is still creates turnovers. And they still have great special teams. I mean, you talk about Devin Hester. You talk about Devin Hester and Dan Manning with the kickoff and punt return. They have basically three elements: the running game, the quarterback. Mm-hmm. That can definitely make some noise. Definitely make some noise against Green Bay. They match up well against Green Bay. They actually match up very well against Green Bay. More than, I guess, probably more than maybe any other team in the NFC. So, I say Chicago finishes second. I say Chicago makes the playoffs. I'm feeling extremely confident about them making the playoffs at 10-6 in that second wild card and challenging Green Bay down the stretch in that division. Detroit, again, I completely with you with Detroit. I don't like a team coming into the offseason, coming into the season with a lot of controversy, a lot of a DUI arrest. They lack leadership, and it comes from the coaching down. They really don't have any definitive leaders on that team. The Don Kansue, Calvin Johnson's a quiet leader, but the Don Kansue is a personality on that team, and he's not a great leader. Stafford is quiet, so I disagree with you about Stafford. I don't think he played over his head. I think that I think Stafford, the question about Stafford is not his talent, is his durability. So I think Stafford has all the talent in the world. I just think, can he stay healthy for back-to-back seasons? So he still, that still has a lot to remain to be seen, whether he can stay healthy back-to-back seasons. But Detroit's 8-8, and they'll be a tough 8-8. They'll be a team that capable of beating anybody, but also capable of losing to just about anybody. And that's what Detroit will be. Detroit, they'll be a spoiler, I think. They'll be a spoiler. They'll ruin some teams' ability to make playoffs. I think they'll be that type of team, but I don't see them making playoffs this year. So that division, again, a very strong division. A very strong division. I think you can certainly make a case for that division being the best division in football, to be honest with you. But Green Bay, Chicago, Detroit, and Minnesota in that order. How about the NFC West? What are your thoughts on this division?
Yep. It's nowhere near as bad as the AFC West in terms of I just want to sell the entire division. It's definitely more clear to me. Arizona, St. Louis is going to be bad. They're going to be bad. It still remains to be seen how good their quarterback is. If he can have a bounce back season. I really like Steven Jackson. I think he's a stud, but he's trapped in that just desolate offense. Fisher, I think, will make the most improvements on defense. I just think the defense, he'll coach that defense well enough for them to be competitive. But I think they're going to be bad. Arizona might actually be the worst team in this division. I'm not sold on Skelton at all. I think they had nobody else to go to because who did they give all the money to? Why am I blanking on his name?
Kevin Cobb.
Yes, Cobb was just he's about as bad as Gabbert mentally. I mean, he's just an interception waiting to happen, an injury waiting to happen. He wants to be so far away from that field, it's not even funny. So he was a non-factor. But Skelton I mean, he's big, he's strong arm, but he's not accurate to save his life. He throws that ball all over the field. Sometimes it hits receivers in the hands, sometimes it doesn't. And he has the greatest gift of all in Larry Fitzgerald, and he can barely find him. So I'm not sold on him. Fantasy wise, Fitzgerald, I don't know why people were picking him so high. Sell Fitzgerald. He's a great talent, but the quarterback is god awful. I think the defense is scrappy, so they'll definitely play, but I think just that offense will suck the will out of them. Although I do like Beanie Wells if he can stay healthy. I think he can score double digit touchdowns. So get them out of the way. Seattle will be the fascinating team to watch in this division because Russell Wilson. I haven't said this anywhere else yet, but I'm going to put it out there right now. I think Russell Wilson has the potential to be Cam Newton-esque this year, where he's going to put up a lot of stats. Will they all equate to wins? Probably not. But I think Russell Wilson is going to be out there. He's going to be running. He's going to be throwing the ball all over the place. And it's just going to be fun to watch. So he actually will be like one of my top fantasy sleepers in the NFL. Marshawn Lynch, Skittles, I think he's overrated a little bit. I've never seen anybody get as much bang for buck off of one run than Marshawn Lynch has. He's tough, he's physical, but I worry about that style over consecutive seasons. And so that's going to be interesting to watch. You don't really have any receivers to throw to, which is why I think Russell Wilson will compile so many stats because he'll have to make up a lot of the offense as he goes along. But I think they'll be like a really fun team to watch. And I really like San Francisco. I think that last year was not a fluke. Me and you got to a pretty heavy discussion. Can they get back to the Super Bowl with Alex Smith? I say yes, because Harbaugh is coaching that offense, and he's got Alex Smith as an extension of himself. Don't turn the ball over. They have the three phases of the game you were talking about, where they have a point-producing offense, Vernon Davis, Mario Manningham, Randy Moss, that will be able to put points on the board, Gore, Kendall Hunter. Their defense is just amazing. Like, I will never be as impressed as I was to watch them start that Saints game and just start knocking people out of the game. I'm thoroughly impressed with their defense. I like big things for San Francisco. I think they go minimum 12-4. I'm not putting them back any more than that. Minimum 12-4, just run roughshod pretty much over the entire division. So, Chad would love to hear that. San Francisco.
Yeah, I'm sure he would. I think the division is a little better than. I think San Francisco does win this division, but I'm looking at their schedule, which is brutal, and I just the division's tough. I think the Rams are bad, but I don't think Arizona will be as bad as you're gonna make them out to be. I just don't. I don't think they're gonna be horrible. I think if I were to pick a division winner, of course, San Francisco. I think San Francisco win it at 11-5, 10-6, or 11-5. I think, expectations, again, their schedule is just, it's off the charts. I mean, they open with Green Bay. We win a little game. They could beat Green Bay first week, no question. But I think they're going to come back down to earth a bit. Their defense will be one of the best, if not the best in the league. But, again, I got to see Alex Smith produce like he did another year. I got to see that running game. I had to see, Alex Smith. I'm not an Alex Smith guy. I got to see it another year. The running game, I got to see, can Gore stay healthy? I know they got Kendall Hunter, and they got, what's the dude? I know his name, but I want to think of his nickname. Tiptoes. Yeah, Tippy Toes. Brandon Jacobs. So I'm not a Brandon Jacobs fan. Yes. The guy has gotten, for a 6'4", 260-pound man, he gets carted off the field more times than, like, I'm like, geez, like, dude. He got caught off the field in the preseason game. like you're 6'4", 260. But, again, the friend Randy Moss, the receivers will be interesting to watch, Manningham and Randy Moss. Vernon Davis, I think, is going to have a great year. I'm a big Vernon Davis fan. So, offensively, again, they still have a lot left to be desired as far as I'm concerned. I think their defense will set them up as far as field position. They have Akers. They have a great year. They have a great special teams in terms of punter, kickoff return, punt returns. So they do a lot of stuff that sets up field. They do a lot of little things. And they are as well coached outside of, New England and a couple other teams. They are as well coached as any team in football. I mean, Harbaugh is that good. He gets the most out of his talent. So they'll have a big year. Sorry, they'll win that division without question. Have to put them as a contender, Super Bowl contender. I do. I think they are a Super Bowl contender. I think they're going to get there. No, I'll put that out there right now. But they have to be mentioned in the mix as far as contenders to come out the AFC. The second team in the division, I think, will be Seattle. No, this division is a one playoff team, and that's all there is to it. Seattle, I feel like, could go 8-8. They have some weapons. They have a very underrated defense. Very good defense. Great set. They probably have. I would say Seattle probably has the best secondary in football. Quiet as kept with those cornerbacks and with Earl Thomas and those two safeties that they have. I think they probably that secondary is lethal. Marshawn Lynch has back spasms already. So I get your point about Lynch, and having him put back to back. Back-to-back years like he did. So that's definitely a question mark. Russell Wilson, I told people in the draft, in my draft show, that Russell Wilson to me was a sleeper as far as for the future. I told people that Russell Wilson was a sleeper as far as the future. I didn't know the future would be now. But I think Russell Wilson will have a decent year. As we have lost the connection with Mr. Sapp here, we'll try to get that back momentarily. I think Russell Wilson will have a decent year, and he's back right now. So, you back?
Yeah, I'm back. Sorry.
Sorry, talking to myself. I think Russell Wilson will have a decent year, but I think this team is carried by their defense and by their running game. Seattle will be interesting to watch. They will be. They're a tough team. That place, again, where they put the play, their home field is always one of the toughest in the league. It's a difficult place to play. Crowd is crazy. Right on top of you have the college-like atmosphere. So they'll be interesting. I think Arizona is a 6-10 team. I'm not a Wizard fan. The quarterback situation is a disaster. But to me, they have talent with Patrick Peterson. They have some guys that can get to the passer. They have, Larry Fitzgerald is still one of the best receivers in the league. So they have some talent. They have talent. Patrick Peterson as a returner and a cornerback is, he's going to be developed into one of the top young quarters in the league. They still have Dansby and the guy from Florida State who is their best, Darnell Dockett, who is their best defensive player. So there's talent on that team. And they draft, quietly as kept, they do draft well. I think Arizona is not going to be god awful, but there are people that are picking them to win this division, which is insane. But they said I don't like them that much. So 6-10, 7-9 for Arizona. They'll be competitive as far as I'm concerned. The Rams again, they're going to be they just lack talent overall. They just lack talent. How I don't see how you can have what you consider and let, you know, what everybody considers to be a franchise caliber quarterback, and you don't get this guy any receivers. I just don't see how every year in, year out, you don't get him receivers. The one year you bring in Brandon Lloyd, you let Brandon Lloyd go, which is fine. Which is fine if you're bringing in a star receiver,
a young receiver,
him,
yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't. I question the direction that organization is going in right now. I know they got Fisher, and Fisher's a very good coach. A little overrated, but still very good. But I just don't. Again, I don't know what the Rams are doing. I don't. They have some decent pieces, but their overall talent is just not good. When I compare it to the rest of that division, it's that they're just not as good as that. They're just, you know, I think they're a last place team in that division. I think the Rams are a 5-11, 4-12 team, but San Francisco clearly class of that division, will make the playoffs. Seattle will finish in second and will be a playoff contender. They'll be a wild card contender, but I don't think they'll get there. Arizona, you know, won't make any noise, but won't be god awful, and the Rams will be borderline god awful. So there you go with the NFC West. Before we get to the NFC East, we want to shift gears a little bit, and we're going to deal with some coaches who we believe will be on the hot seat. And I'll give Mr. Sapp's thoughts on that. First on my list, I have Andy Reid. What are your thoughts on Andy Reid? Is Andy Reid back in 2013?
Hey, you know, I had a really good read on Philadelphia last year. I had a really good read on that.
We both was on top of that once he made that.
We could see that one coming. So I say that to say I'm not sure this year. I will say, because we haven't done our NFC East preview, I will say I'm not sold on Vic.
Right.
I'm not sold on Vic being that guy. And without Vic being that guy, do I feel like Philadelphia can make the playoffs? No. I don't want to – I'm trying to figure out how to say this in a way that is respectful. I feel like there will be some sympathy towards Andy Reid, if not from the coaches, I mean, if not from the fans, from internally in the organization. And I think that sympathy will win out over the negativity of the Eagles not making the playoffs again. So I think I said that as politically correct as I possibly could.
I'll say this. I'll say this. Based on Jeffrey Lurie's statements, there's not going to be any sympathy in terms of, you know, he said 8-8 is not acceptable. So I don't think within the organization, Jeffrey Lurie is the organization, as far as I'm concerned, that he will have leeway based on the tragic loss of his son. I don't think he'll get that. I don't think if they go 8-8, 7-9, I think he's finished. They don't make the playoffs, I think he's done.
I hear that, and I respect that. It absolutely could be just something saying he might survive this season. So I would lean towards he survives this season
without making the playoffs.
I see that.
Different because I don't think he does. I just think based on what I heard what Jeffrey Lloyd just said, and also based on just the overwhelming amount of just public pressure that would be basically calling for his head if they didn't make the playoffs a second straight year. I look at it like
how cold blooded would you have to be? And then why not have fired him? This was the perfect year to fire him. You fire him, you get it over with. It doesn't make sense to me that they would bring him back again. And then this year, on top of that, being a year where he suffered a tragedy that that is unconceivable to most people, and this is the year you're going to say, oh, you didn't get it done. You did. I don't know. I hear what Jeff Lurie's talking. He's talking big now. We'll see as the season progresses. We'll see as storylines and things like that start coming out. And we'll see exactly how the Eagles don't make the playoffs to see if there's any outs that Jeffrey Lurie will be able to give Andy Reid. They've just been so loyal to him, and he suffers the biggest personal tragedy of his life, and it's the year that they say nope, no more. I don't know. Maybe they feel like he won't be. And, no, I'm just going to say I don't see it right now.
How about the second coach? How about Lovie Smith? If they don't, give me a scenario. I'm going to give you a scenario. If they don't make the playoffs.
Go ahead.
I'm going to give you a scenario. If they don't make the playoffs, will he be back?
Yep. No.
Does he think he'll be back if they don't make the playoffs?
No, he won't be back if they don't make the playoffs.
Okay.
No. Right. Uh-huh. No.
There. I agree with
that.
Jason Garrett hasn't made the playoffs in two
years.
The
only reason I'll say yes, he's going to be back is because I think Jerry Jones has hitched his wagon to Garrett a little bit. And outside of a meltdown, like if the Cowboys are 6-10, and just completely melt down, then I say Jerry cleans house. But, I mean, I'm going to say Garrett survives.
Without a playoff appearance.
I'm going to go Garrett survives. Because I think he's hitched his wagon to Jason Garrett.
I don't think he survives. I can see your logic based on the fact that he is kind of Jerry Jones' puppet. But with that being said, it would be 3 years in Dallas. We're talking about the billion-dollar organization. We're talking about the new stadium without making the playoffs. Again, Jerry Jones is on the radio. Listen to this. Listen to the fans. And I think, again, similar to Philadelphia, I think the public pressure and the outrage there would be, I think that would be fire.
Here's my thing, Sorrell. Everybody's talking big now. It's the preseason. It's like everybody is hopeful. You got all the tough talk in the world right now. But it's going to come down to, yep, there's going to be people mad. People say don't make their playoffs. Who else are you going to get? Who's out there that is going to be better than what you have, more so Andy Reid than Jason Garrett?
The Andy Reid thing is not about who you can replace him as better. To me, that would be more about his time is up. So that wouldn't be about finding a better replacement.
They're gonna come to the end of the season. They're gonna come to that point, and they're gonna look around, and the landscape ain't rosy for coaches out there. You want to pay Cowell a whole bunch of money to hope and pray that he's the first kind of person, or Gruden. No.
A hot coordinator and go from there. And I mean, there's sure. Defensive offensive coordinators, I think they find a hot coordinator and move on from there, like they always do. I think you're right, the landscape is not that strong, but the landscape really hasn't been that strong in 3 or 4 or 5 years. So I don't think that will keep coaches from getting fired in terms of who, especially those two coaches, in terms of who
else. The thing that I would say to Jerry Jones was Jason Garrett was your hot offensive coordinator. How'd that work out for you?
He was. Jason Garrett should have never gotten that job, number one. So if he doesn't make plays, he should fire Jason Garrett. Never should have gotten that job. But that's where the organization is at, because you got Jerry Jones making decisions and he doesn't.
Who should be fired? Yes, Jerry Jones needs to fire Jerry Jones, the general manager.
Right. Yeah, of course.
Exactly.
Rex Ryan, does he survive a playoff?
Woo, I've been waiting to talk about this one right here. So, Rex Ryan is not going to be with the Jets next year. I said it before, and I will say it again. The instant he brought Tim Tebow, he put the bullet in the gun that would blow his own brains out. Sorry for being graphic, but he totally set himself up to fail this year. I've never seen that before. I've never seen a coach just say, hey, let me see, what will get me out of here faster? Oh, let's bring in Tim Tebow, because when Tim Tebow comes in, everything's going to work out real nice and clean and easy. Not happening, not a chance. There is zero chance. I'm putting that zero chance Rex Ryan is with the Jets next year. Hello? Hello?
Yes, we're back. Dealing with some technical issues, but we're back. I'm back. We'll get Mr. Sapp on momentarily. Yeah, he was talking about Tebow and Rex Ryan. He was all over this when Tebow was signed by the Jets inexplicably. Well, I can explain like this. The Jets wanted back pages of the newspapers, and they, you know, Giants were getting all the attention, rightfully so, because they actually did something and won the Super Bowl. As and I was explaining to the audience, Rob, that, you know, the Jets wanted the back pages of the New York tabs of the New York newspapers. That's why they signed Tebow. They tried, you know, try to steal some headlines from the Giants, and Giants were getting the back pages because they actually did something. What you're supposed to do is win. So
they've done that. How's that working out for them so far?
Right. The Tebow move from a football standpoint made zero sense. Zero. That's what Rob is talking about, as far as, you know, Rex Ryan basically committing coaching suicide, because first of all, you ruined your starting quarterback. If he wasn't, and he didn't need help being ruined in the first place. He didn't need a lot of help as it is, but you ruined him. You know, he's got to answer a million questions about Tim Tebow, Tim that, Tim this, Tim that. Hey, Tim, even though people are interviewing Mark Sanchez, calling him Tim. So he has that, he has to be thrilled by that. And then you have Tebow as your backup. And there are a number of quarterbacks who are much more worthy of being backup quarterbacks than Tim Tebow. Forget about being a starter. Tim Tebow is not even a backup, as far as I'm concerned. It's not a backup. There's no way I want Tim Tebow, the hands of my offense, in Tim Tebow's hands if my starting quarterback got hurt.
And, you know, like, I'm not even going to turn this on to a referendum on Tim Tebow, because there'll be plenty of time to talk about that. It's about the decision-making process of the Jets. And
no,
just like
Woody Johnson and that whole organ, those two.
It's like you're saying, it's about winning something else other than games. And when you get into that position as an organization where you're looking for something else other than games, you're the Jets, for goodness sakes. You didn't need to bring in a sizable attraction to sell tickets or to sell headlines. You honestly did. Like that, like, you're not Jacksonville, for example.
No.
You got an entrance fan base that's going to be there. You don't have to worry about that. They just got crazy, in my opinion, in terms of bringing him in and courting that type of attention. Because when you court that type of attention, the ramifications of that are going to be broad, and it's going to be something you can't control. For example, on the off season, you got every national paper, TV network down there covering Tim Tebow, as they're going to do. They're going to cover him. And then they see you guys acting the fool. Now, how many times do fights happen in an NFL training camp? All the time. All training camps, of course. But because You got a million people down there watching Tim Tebow, the guy you brought in, the backup quarterback on a chartered plane to do a press conference. That guy that you brought in, because they're down there, now they get a chance to see all the knucklehead stuff that you're doing. So all that stuff, all that drama that was happening in the locker room that was reported on, but probably wasn't reported on to its fullest, oh, you can guarantee they're going to turn the Jets over with a microscope this year. Crazy.
Yeah, they did it to themselves. They did it to themselves.
Bye,
no,
Rex.
No Rex is
no, no pity. Bye,
and
Rex.
This next guy probably is gone unless he wins a Super Bowl. The next guy, and that's North Turner.
Please put North out of this mess.
Yeah.
I think North Turner wants to be fired at this point. Please. Please. Somebody fire me. What do I have to do? What do I have to do to get fired around here?
I think
the San Diego organization hates North Turner so much that they're just going to make him continue catching and coaching the Chargers. Yeah, if Norv isn't gone at the end of this year, I don't know. Please put him out of his misery.
You know, it's a story either way. It's a story two ways. Because if he isn't gone, then that means the Chargers won the Super Bowl. And then if he stays, then it's a story because it's like how does he still have a job? So it's either way, it's a story. It's going to be a story one way or the other. So yeah, North Turner will be at a guy on the proverbial hot seat. We're gonna shift gears a bit.
Did you fire everybody? Was there anybody that you liked back? You fired everybody.
That's very interesting. I did fire.
Oh, because we haven't done our NFC East preview yet. That's why. Because we don't know who's going to make the playoffs.
The question was, and I did hypothetically.
I think you fired everybody.
Yeah, I fired everybody. But the question was, I didn't predict that Andy Reid would be fired. I said the Eagles
didn't make the playoffs,
he would be fired. Yeah, so I didn't give away my prediction on how I feel like the Eagles are going to do. I just did hypothetically. Yeah, I did fire everybody. I just I want to be like Lydia in Breaking Bad. Get rid of everybody.
Exactly.
Everybody
You're fired.
Keep going, everybody. We're going to shift gears before we get to the NFC East. As far as fantasy football goes, I've done just two drafts. How many drafts did you do?
I've only done two this year. Last year I did nine. Last year I had nine leagues. This year I'm only going to do two. I was telling Chad this, like what happens is even in leagues, because some of the leagues I just forgot the draft happened, the computer did my draft, but even in leagues where that happens, your competitive juices take over, and you still fight and compete,
right.
And it just gets to a point where you can't even remember who you're rooting for or you're rooting against.
Because
one person you're rooting for on one team, on the other team is killing you. And it's just like So this year I have two leagues. One. The one where I work, and then one friend league, and so I'm going to concentrate my energies on trying to win those two.
Yeah, we're both in the same two leagues, and to me, I'm not like the days of me doing non-paid drafts are over. A non-paid league, they're done. I'm not promoting gambling. For those listening at home, if you have 10-year-old listening to the show, which I don't know why you would be, but whatever. So, any of my E.L. Haynes kids, I'm not promoting gambling. But I need all my energy focused in on my paid leagues, period. And I found myself last year losing interest in a league that wasn't a paid league. Like, I still made moves, but I wasn't on top of it at all. Still made the playoffs, but when I lost it, I was like, whatever. So I'm just doing the two paid leagues, two very different drafts, of course, in terms of what we had, what we went through. What is your biggest concern out of both your teams? What is your biggest concern going forward?
That's a really good question. I think what's my biggest concern. I think it's a little bit different in with both ones. I mean, I love Matt Ryan, and you have Matt Ryan
in one of the leagues,
and I have Matt Ryan in the other league. And so I love Matt Ryan, but let's say Julio Jones has 1,200 yards, Roddy White has 1,200 yards. That's around 2,400 yards plus 10 TDs. Like, will Ryan's stats really kind of like put him into that elite fantasy QB level? Like,
right.
Even so, I can see a scenario where Julio Jones does really well, Roddy White does really well, and Matt Ryan's stats are okay, but aren't enough to like push me over the top. So I think
right.
That's the one in one league, and I think in the second league, I really, really, really wanted and got on the Green Bay and
bandwagon.
I really got on those bandwagons. And I think those are good bandwagons to jump on. But if something happens, then to either one of those teams, it's going to mean really big problems for me. So those are my two concerns.
I'm on a New England bandwagon hard. I have a bunch of Patriots. Three Patriots. I got two major ones. Number one, obviously Marshawn Lynch is one because, you know, I don't know if he's going to play this week, so I'm thinking about that with the back spasms. And for the season, I just don't – even though I got him, I thought relatively at good value, I still don't – with a third-round pick, I still don't, you know – part of me is starting to rethink that pick in terms of maybe I should have just took another top receiver. But, you know, we'll see. He's concerned number one. Concern number two is one that scares the hell out of me, and that's Tom Brady. Not that he won't put up numbers, but that he won't – that offensive line is definitely a concern. They didn't play well in the preseason. I think Patriots will fix that to a point. I think they'll fix it, but it is in the back of my mind, is that offensive line and keeping him healthy. Because, you know, he goes down, then it's like...
Oh, that's the whole show.
That'll be the whole show for them. I will try to mix it. Well, no, in that league, that will be the whole show, because that league is a 14-team league. So you're right, that will be the whole show. You lean more on – in the 14-team – in the 10-team or 18 league, you can afford to lose a big-time player of that magnitude. The 14-team league, you're in deep you-know-what. If you lose that caliber player. So that probably would be the whole show if I lost Brady to an injury for a sustained amount of time. So those are my two concerns. Outside of that, I love both of my teams. I think that especially the second team, we've discussed that through and through. That ten team draft was like it was just like a kid at a candy store. It was just beautiful. It was like a draft utopia. I was like, this is not happening. I'm seeing all these players who I wanted and I'm actually getting.
Yeah. I think, you know, and we talked about this a little bit last night, like the I think the day of the running back is over with. And overvaluing running backs can be a really big mistake. And I think that's what you saw happen a lot in our 10-team league where you have Ray Rice, Arian Foster, Chris Johnson, and
Sean
McCoy. Yes, McCoy, of course. Those are probably your big four right there. After that, AP you can't trust. I'm sorry. You can take a risk on it if you want to, but AP, to me, you just can't trust that. And he's the only person, MJD, also another one you can't trust now. Those are probably the two I would add to that just based on to there. Oh, no. You cannot. No. For McFadden would be great for 8 games. And then forget about it. You can't. There's no way I could project Fadden being there when I'm playing for a playoff spot or I'm playing for the Super Bowl. There's just no. If I can't project you being there, why am I drafting you? Yeah, those first eight games, I might as well try something else for those first eight games. So, yeah, no, McFadden could be the best fantasy back in football if he stayed healthy. He's that talented. He's that good. But he can't stay healthy. He's going to have to prove me wrong on that. So I'm staying away from all of those guys. And if I'm staying away from all those guys, then I'm going to look for receivers in a passing offense. I'm going to go to war with them and then figure out the running backs later, particularly if I can't get one of those four studs. And that's what I was able to do, which allowed me to really, really draft what I wanted. And it never, ever helps when Aaron Rodgers falls to you at number four.
Folks, I'm going to tell this. I mean, just get this out the way because this is like torture. Because we're gonna get to our NFC previews and Super Bowl MVP picks as well, and so we're doing a draft, a 10-team draft on Yahoo, and first pick Arian Foster, or was it McCoy or Foster? I think it was Arian Foster.
Yeah,
second
Foster
pick.
First.
Second pick was Deshaun McCoy. Second pick. Third pick coming in at number three. Cam Newton. Now, mind you, Rob had the fourth.
Oh, no, you know what? No, because Dave actually reminded me. No, that's not how it fell. You're right. McCoy was number one.
McCoy was fourth.
And then. No. Cam went number two.
Cam
because Dave got Arian Foster at number three.
What's that? That's even worse.
That's even worse. I know. When you said it.
Wow. So good job by Dave, our buddy Dave. great job. I'm going to remind you of that tomorrow. Great, excellent job. And that's even worse. So you
that
take Cam at number two. You pass
number
up on
two.
Aaron Rodgers and Arian Foster?
Yeah.
Wow. Not you, but the person. Oh, my God. You.
Yep.
So I'm glad I found out that piece of information. That's even worse.
Yeah.
My goodness. So, folks, when that move happened, where Cam Newton went second, it was like, huh? It was like one of those Norm McDowell moments. Wait, what? is this a typo? Mind you, I was at work during the draft because I couldn't get home quick enough to do the draft at 8:00. So I stayed at work, you know, working since 11:30 in the morning, whatever, or the 1:00. I'm ready to go home, but I'm excited about the draft. When that move happened, I just couldn't believe it. I was like this didn't happen. I wanted to just kick my computer, like something wrong with the computer. It was one of those moves that somebody would take Cam Newton over Arian Foster or Aaron Rodgers. All I saw, I didn't even see Aaron Foster. I just saw Aaron Rodgers. That's all I saw was Aaron Rodgers. Because to me, my consensus, my number one pick would have been Aaron Rodgers myself. I could make a case for Aaron Foster, make a case for McCoy, but Aaron Rodgers would have been my number one pick. I made a mistake last year passing up on Aaron Rodgers for Phillip Rivers. Just one of the dumbest moves that you can ever make. But it like when that happened, it was unbelievable how it set off the rest of the draft. I mean, you know. That's why you love fantasy because you just never know what
can't
you
ever
know,
predict it.
You can't predict the human element. It's a human element. You can't predict it. Cam Newton's gonna have a very good year. I make no mistake about it. But you're passing up on Aaron Rodgers and Arian Foster, who consensus would have probably been the top two picks of the draft. But not top three, but definitely top two picks. I was just dumbfounded after that. The moves, and Rob makes a great point. The moves that people made as far as taking, you know, Trent Richardson and some of these other running backs with high picks, I just didn't see it. They just don't see what I see. I just didn't see it. The running back, you can wait on the running back to the fourth, fifth round, sixth round, unless you do what I did, and that, you know, I had the 10th pick, so I took Chris Johnson. At that point, everybody else was gone. And truthfully, if people would have been drafting, would have been on point with their drafts, Chris Johnson wouldn't even been at 10.
Right.
He should have been at 10. There's no way I should have got Chris Johnson at 10.
Very true.
Fuck Chris Johnson. I said Chris Johnson coming off last season was going to have a bounce back season in my eyes. There's no way, there's no question about it in my mind that Chris Johnson is going to have a bounce back season. You know, something to prove, healthy, full training camp. He's going to bounce back. So,
and he's one of the last workhorse backs out
right,
there.
Right. He's a guy who is going to get the majority of the touches.
Yep.
touches. And he's a dual threat. Chris Johnson can go out
there
and
he's not going out on third. Yep.
No. He can throw a 5-yard slant to an 80
Tim,
yard
touchdown. McCoy, Rice, they're not
Foster.
Going out on third
and
down.
Foster.
Yep.
Yeah, Foster's on level two. You know, where
yep.
those dual threats.
Those are the four blue chippers. If you don't have one of those four, you might as well just wait till the sixth round, seventh round.
Just wait. That's
figure
that,
it
that's,
out from there.
That's a new way of doing it. So looking forward to it. Definitely coming, you know, don't have anybody playing tomorrow, so I'll just sit back, relax, wait until Sunday.
Yep.
Wait, let other people sweat it out. Amazing, real quick, amazing how Michael Vick fell. You took Michael Vick in the first round last year.
I did.
And he picked him up in the eighth.
Exactly. And it's not, you know what, Michael Vick didn't perform horribly, but here's the thing. Watching an Eagles game and having Michael Vick on your fantasy football team was one of the worst experiences of my life.
Yeah.
Every single play, it looked like he was going to get injured. Every single play, you're just sitting there holding your breath. I wouldn't touch Michael Vick. I concede Michael Vick can have a bounce back year and go and look all world. But I know that feeling as you're sitting there and you're watching him, you think he's going to get injured on every play, and it's terrifying. So I will be so happy to sit back and just watch Matt Ryan and Aaron Rodgers in the pocket and just enjoy that and not be scared to death as defense slams your quarterback to the ground, jumps on him, kicks him in the head, slams him back down.
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm done with that.
You need a pacemaker to watch the Eagles game.
It's
torture. Quick sports update for all my Yankee haters, including myself. Yankees have lost their race 5-2.
Yes.
The New York Yankees are tied with the Baltimore Orioles in first place. How about that? The Devil Rays are only a game and a half out, and they still have another game. They might have two more games with the Devil Rays. Maybe only one more. Yeah, they have one more with the Devil Rays this week, and then they travel to Baltimore. Then they travel to Baltimore, which is a must-win, must-watch series if you're down in the D.C. metro area with how the Orioles are playing. But the Yankees tied for first place after leading by 7 games with about 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago.
As bad as this season has been for the Red Sox, nothing could make me happier than one, dumping $250 million worth of salary on the Los Angeles Dodgers. Enjoy that. And then second is the Yankees tanking the season. That would make up for it all.
Oh, it would be beautiful. You have an opportunity for the Yankees, Phillies, and Dodgers, and Marlins. Never forget how much money they spent. All not to be in the playoffs. So money can't buy championships in baseball. But we're gonna segue to the NFC East division, my division. You know, well, I'm just renting the space. To be honest with you, it's not my division. Similar to the Bills, just renting a little cubby hole that I've been for the last 20 years. Used to be my division growing up, but those days are long gone. Who do you like in this division?
All right. I am going to keep it short and simple for you. This would be another division I would near sell, just because I think 9-7 again is going to get it. It's going to go down to the last two weeks, last game of the season. I have to say I do see your Redskins, although being spunky and being there to bring up the rear.
Okay.
After that, I think the Eagles will. So I would say I put the Redskins at around 7-9, the Eagles at 8-8, and then I will go with repeat champion 9-7. I mean, repeat NFC East champion 9-7 Giants, and give the Cowboys 8-8.
Okay. Okay. This division from top to bottom could be the most balanced. You do have a legit Super Bowl contender with the Giants. And at the bottom, you have the Redskins who are middle of the pack as far as I'm concerned. Not bottom half, middle of the pack, right in the middle. So it's a very competitive division. I think the Giants are the team to beat in this division. I like them. 11-5. I've seen some publications that think the Giants are just going to run through everybody and go 13-3, 12-4, or maybe even 14-2. I'm like, that's not going to be the case. Giants' schedule is murder. Check it out if you don't believe it. The schedule is just
it's going to be tough for them to be
11-5.
They're going to earn that.
No, they're going to earn 11-5. I like them at 11-5, 10-6, 10-6, 11-5. But the Giants' pass rush, as always, is a monster. The pass rush is a monster. They're going to have a healthy JPP, a healthy Justin Tuck, Usei Menorah, who finally got paid, so you don't have to hear any contract talk from him. The secondary, I think, will be a little bit better than it was last year. As long as they don't start dipping Prince in the tub before the game. I mean, gee, how about that?
Hey, can I say something really quick?
Yeah, quick.
Just for organizations out there, if you're, like, listening and thinking about this, look at the Giants. Pick something, do it well. They know they're going to have that defensive front, and they're always going to have that. Pick anything. Just do it. Pick one thing. Pick your identity and do it well.
No,
big up to the Giants for continuing to do that.
Yeah, they have always, and I'm telling you, I'm going to give you one. I'm going to give you a guy in that rotation who will crack that rotation. Marvin Austin out of North Carolina, who was hurt last year, he's the next good one who will be able to rush the passer. So I'll give you a name, that name, that watch out for him. Yeah, so I like the Giants to win this division. Remember about the Giants, coming off Super Bowl years, you were kind of suspect on what the Giants would be the following year. When the Giants won the Super Bowl last time, they were the best team in football.
12-0.
Yeah. No, they weren't 12. No, they were 11-1. 11-1.
Oh, 11-1.
They were best. Yeah, 11-1. Best team in football before Mr. Plaxico Burress inexplicably put a gun in his sweatpants and walked to a club. And that was a sheep. So, hey, who knows? Who knows what would have happened had he not shot him, that, you know, Cheddar Bobbed himself and shot himself, you know, and they just were not the same after that. Offensively, they just, you know. At that time, Eli was that, you know, hit-or-miss quarterback, and they had a great running game. But Plaxico Burress was a top receiver at that time, so that shot that 2008 season. So I expect the Giants to have a very good season. They will I expect them again. 10-6, 11-5. I'm not going to say 11-5, 12-4. So I'll say 11-5, 10-6. I think the Eagles are going to finish second place, next in line. I'm going back and forth with the Eagles and Cowboys, but to me, I just don't like the Cowboys at all. And it's not even a personal thing with far as resting the Cowboys. It's just that the injuries that they have with their offense, I still don't trust that defense. They really don't have a pass rusher, minus outside DeMarcus Ware. Jay Ratliff will not play in the game on tomorrow, just as a note for Cowboy fans and fantasy fans for their defense. Witten is doubtful, so we'll see. Doubtful, probably game time decision. I don't think Witten will play, but they're banged up. You look at their guys. Miles Austin is becoming injury prone. DeMarco Murray is coming off an injury. Witten's banged up. Dez Bryant is banged up, and he's a head case, and he's crazy. I'm like, you know, they might have a hard time scoring points this year. I mean, seriously. Like, they might have a hard time scoring points this year. And is Tony Romo the type of quarterback that's going to lift everybody up? No. He needs everything to be in place. And he needs all the engines running. With that, so I like the Eagles to finish second place, even though I don't think Vic is going to play the entire season. He'll miss at least three games, if not four. McCoy is a monster. The thing that's going to hurt the Eagles is the Jason Pierce injury is a killer. Jason Peters is one of the best tackles in football, period. All pro last year. That is a killer to the offensive line. I still don't trust the Eagle defense as far as this whole offensive coordinator, offensive line coach becoming a defensive coordinator. I still don't – I still haven't figured that out. So
now, if there's any reason Andy Reid should get fired, it's that.
Yeah, that.
What? Who does that?
So I haven't figured that out, but I do think that they have some. They do have some. With all that being said, they have a lot of talent on that defensive line. Trent Cole, they have one of the best. They are one of the few teams that can get to a quarterback without blitzing. With Trent Cole, Babin. You know, they drafted a defensive lineman, defensive tackle. They'll get to your passer. The question is, can they cover him in the backside? Their safeties are god awful. Their safeties are horrible. They're gonna need their cornerbacks to play lights out. They're gonna need a bounce back year out of Asuma and Kamari Rogers. Rogers Kamari to be a beast. Because their safeties, Nate Allen and the other safety are just like they are horrible. Their safeties are bad. So, again, the Eagles are that kind of team where they're a strange team to me because if everything – I'm telling you right now, if everything goes right, and I don't think it will, but if everything goes right, the Eagles can actually make a run to Super Bowl if everything goes right. They do have that kind of talent. I don't think everything is going to go right, but I do think that the Eagles will finish second and make the playoffs. Well, I think the Eagles are going to make the playoffs. My two wild cards in the AFC are the Eagles and Bears. The Redskins, my team, I have majored, like, RG3 is obviously an upgrade. A walking carcass could have been an upgrade from what we had at quarterback. So it's an automatic upgrade. I'm not in love with our secondary. D'Angelo Hall to me is bad. He's bad. And, you know, Josh Wilson is considered our best cornerback, which is a problem. Josh Wilson. So I'm not in love with the secondary. I do like our front seven with the pass rush ability, possibilities of Arakpo and Kerrigan on the ends. I like them. London Fletcher I don't get how he can continue to play at the level he plays at the age of 71, but he continues to do it. Whatever he's doing.
Tackling machine.
He's a tackling machine. Still the heart and soul of the defense. But and I like the linebackers overall. I like Perry Riley as well. The Redskins are like the Bears and to a lesser extent like the Steelers. I don't get why we can't get offensive linemen. I don't understand how we can just totally dismiss and de-emphasize the most important unit on the field. Offensive line is the most important unit. Out of all the units, secondary, linebacker, defensive line, the offensive line is the most important unit because you have to protect your quarterback and to keep the defense on the field. Those two things, protecting the quarterback, which is now you hope to be your franchise quarterback, and keeping your defense fresh. And the Redskins' offensive line, even when healthy, is barely average. Average on a great day when they've ate all their Wheaties. So a banged-up offensive line. And Jamal Brown, I mean, the Saints knew what they were doing with that. He just please give him his walking papers now. He can't stay healthy to save his life. Still waiting on Trent Williams to emerge. He has the talent. Everybody else is like, should you be starting? Everybody else is like kind of like they just glad they're on the Redskins because they have the ability to start on the Redskins. Otherwise, they might not be starting on another team. That's where I'm at with the offensive line, and it's just not any good. With that being said, they do have some weapons with Garcon. It'll be running back by committee. Shanahan, that's the one thing he can do is develop running backs and have them be productive, so I'm not that concerned about that. But the question is, has Shanahan humbled himself enough to suit his system and Kyle's system? I should say Mike's system, because Kyle's just doing what dad tells him to do. his system to what RG3 can do. And can RG3 make it without getting his head knocked off? Because he's going to be running. People will say RG3 is not going to be who needs to stay in the pocket. No, he's going to be running for his life. He's going to be running for his life. So, like, I hope he slides. I hope he doesn't take the Michael Vick approach and protects his body. That would be my concern. The offensive line and the health of RG3, considering how bad the offensive line and the secondary. So I think I have the Redskins at 6-10, but I will be perfectly satisfied if RG3 shows progresses over the course of the year. Listen, with the Redskins, and I'm telling you right now, Redskins fans, you can't look at the record. You can't. I'm sorry. When you go through a decade and a half of just ignoring the draft and just picking up free agent after free agent, then this is what, you know, this is what you reap what you sow. And this is what happens. You know, you're going to be years of rebuilding, trying to revamp the franchise, revamp the roster and the whole nine yards. But you need to see the development of the quarterback. So I'll take the Giants to win this division. Eagles have the talent to overtake the Giants, but I don't think they'll, again, Vic will miss too many games. Cowboys 8-8, third place. Redskins bring up the rear at 6-10, 7-9, but they'll be a very competitive 6-10, 7-9. Won't be easy facing them over the course of the season. As far as Super Bowl picks, who do you like to go and to win?
Oh man, I was thinking about this. I'm so not prepared to pick a Super Bowl, but if I had to, it would be I'm going to have Houston come out on the AFC side, and I'm going to have Chicago come out on the NFC
side.
Wow,
that's my pick.
Yep,
that's my pick.
Yep,
that's my pick.
We did not plan this out at all.
We didn't plan this out. I'll tell you right now.
Nope.
I had no idea who you were going to pick. I didn't have an inkling on who you even liked. So yeah, those are my picks too.
You want to go ahead.
This is my theory behind picks. I love Houston. The reach would be Chicago, considering who they're in the conference with.
Yeah.
I think Houston from top to bottom is the best team in the AFC. Chicago is not in the NFC the best team in my eyes, but I like to be different. I wasn't going to go Giants again. First of all, nobody repeats in the NFL. That just doesn't happen anymore. Green Bay, I told you at the beginning of the show that I wasn't going Green Bay, that wasn't going to happen. It was just too – it was like picking LeBron on MVP. And outside of that, there was nobody else that I liked. Even San Francisco, you know how I feel about San Francisco and Alex Smith. I tossed them the bone and said they were going to be contenders. I wasn't going to go further than that. I think I paid my San Francisco dues for the show. But before the season last year, in the middle of the season, before all those injuries occurred with both teams, it's ironic because both teams suffered just catastrophic injuries. The quarterback and receivers and quarterbacks and running backs, and, you know, Forte gets hurt, Cutler gets hurt, Schaub gets hurt, the backup of Schaub, Liner gets hurt. It was just like the, you know, they both were cursed. So, you know, I think both these teams, I think Houston from top to bottom is as good as any team in the league and definitely in the AFC. Chicago to me is a bit of a reach, but not a major reach, considering I like their matchup versus Green Bay. They're built for the – yeah, that's the thing that leads you towards Chicago, because they match up well against Green Bay. They know Green Bay.
They can slow that game down.
Absolutely.
With the running game. Here, this is all that you have to know about Chicago. Chicago got the deal done with Forte before training camp started. I mean, before preseason started. They wanted him to get in a full preseason to get himself ready for the regular season. They could have easily have made that thing go out with Michael Bush and just been like, nope, we're going to put you on that. That tells you Chicago's gearing up for something. They're not just looking at this year as, oh, no, they're gearing up for a serious run.
Oh,
they
no
believe
question.
Brandon Marshall will put them over the edge. That ground game, they're gearing up for it.
Oh, no question. And listen, Chicago, I mentioned it before, Chicago – not only I expect big things out of Cutler and Marshall, with the run, we talked about the running game. You know, they have three or four defensive players who can take over a game. You still have Lance Briggs. Peppers is a monster. You know, Urlacher, who I've never been a big Urlacher fan, but he's still very good. So they still have some. They still have some pieces on defense that can that'll put them middle of the pack, top 12, top 10, top 12 defense, and special teams. They get you. You know, Robbie Gould is going to make a big kick. Hester is a game changer, a Hall of Famer. Hester's going to the Hall of Fame as a punt kickoff return, no question. So and he has improved as a receiver, by the way. So I think Chicago is gearing up for a Super Bowl run, and that's my pick, Chicago, Houston, and I'll take Houston to win it all.
I'm going to go to Chicago.
That's fine. Yeah, that's a toss-up. I mean, that's a toss-up. That's a toss-up. Yeah, I can see either way. That's a toss-up. So he has. That's where we differ at, and we don't. That we differ. We're just trying to be different. You don't. It's like you can argue
right.
Either. It's a toss up. That game would be a toss up. Literally a toss up. Like,
and with the way the NFL goes, it'll be Cincinnati and Carolina in the Super Bowl.
Eagles. Yeah, right. I think like last year, you know, New England Giants. Nobody had the Giants considering how they started, and even at the beginning of the season. New England, I think a lot of that was certainly
yeah.
no shot.
Yeah.
I'll be very interested to watch who people are picking this year. Some people are going to be on the Houston bandwagon. Everybody's going to be on the New England bandwagon without question. Everybody's going to be on the New England bandwagon. I don't see too many people on the Chicago bandwagon. I think you're going to see Green Bay. You're gonna see San Francisco or the Giants. Those are gonna be the three teams that you're gonna hear. Or it'll be some people on the Atlanta bandwagon as well. There'll be some people on the Atlanta bandwagon going to the Super Bowl. You're not gonna hear too much Chicago. You're not. But I watched Chicago closely last year. Saw a number of their games. That team was ready. That team was primed for a major run last year before all those injuries just again absolutely destroyed their season. Who you like tomorrow night, by the way? Last prediction.
I'm going to go, you know what? Dallas talking way too much. I'm going Giants, and I'm not even going tight. I'm going to go Giants 24, Dallas 10.
I can see that. Remember, the Super Bowl champion has won every single one of these games since they started when New England went back-to-back championships. That was the first year it started, 2004. So Super Bowl champion, returning Super Bowl champion, defending Super Bowl champion, has won every single one of these games. And you figure, as much parity as the NFL has, that at least one time that the Rose
Bowl. They're too jacked. It's too much adrenaline.
It is. And they're a Super Bowl champion there's a reason why.
Yeah,
it's
very true.
So, you know.
Very true.
You had a couple of great games. I mean, Indianapolis could have easily beat New England that one year, that first year. Edwin James fumbled the ball. I still remember watching that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
On the goal line. And then you had the Tennessee-Pittsburgh game with the overtime. That game last season was a classic.
So good.
We're not going to get one of that, but that was just – it was just fun to watch.
Set the tone for the entire season. Crazy. Just, yeah.
Yeah. And with that being said, I'm glad you mentioned that. Do you see the defenses catching up with the offenses this year?
Nope.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
Keep it that simple. Nope.
So you're going to shoot?
Except in the playoffs. I mean, I think that, just like you said, I think your pitcher analogy was 100% accurate. The teams that hit a whole bunch of home runs. I think the offense is going to go crazy, and then when we get into the playoffs, that's where it's going to shrink. But I still think you're going to need enough offense. And both of the teams that we named have really good defenses, yes, but then they have not. I think enough offense is probably a slap in those two teams' face. They have really good offenses to go along with it.
Yeah, no question. It's going to wrap it up for this special edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. I hope we quench your football thirst. If not, this is just the beginning of the premiere week for season 5. Amazingly, season 5 of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call. We're coming out with a Showtime probably tomorrow. It'll be on Saturday, so know that. It'll be Saturday morning. So understand that. We're going to have a bunch of guests. We'll have some people, fantasy. We'll have some fantasy people on. We'll have some picks. We'll do NFL picks, college picks. We'll have some guys on who do the lines. So that's always fun, trying to come up with these college lines and these NFL lines as well, especially with players coming into the season injured. So we'll have a big-time show, baseball, the whole nine. This weekend is always one of the biggest shows of the year because you have a million things going on with the tennis. It could be headed towards a Djokovic-Federer final with the baseball, start of NFL season. Looking forward to it. Mr. Sapp, 2 hours in the books. Thank you, sir. I'm looking forward to another 93rd NFL season.
All right.
All right, and we'll certainly we'll have to catch up with Mr. Quinn, the other Mr. Quinn, on our next get together. But we kept his 49ers. You know, we showed his 49ers some love, but I wasn't picking on to win the Super Bowl, so, or get to the Super Bowl for that matter. All right, later.
Have a good one.
That's going to wrap it up for this special edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. Again, remember, you can always catch the replay of the Cyril Quinn Review at CyrilJoeQuinn.com or at Facebook.com/CyrilQuinn or follow me on Twitter at William Gerald. Enjoy the rest of your night. So long.